She's feisty, she's funny, and she tells it like it is. Get ready for Empower Readings with Corby Mitlide. What are your opportunities right now? What are the possibilities? Ask Corby and cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. Here's your host, Corby Mitlide.
Good evening, great wilds of Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario. It's Corby Mitlide, and I have a Canadian show up here tomorrow with the wonderful Stan and Ray of First Star Psychic Fairs. But we are intrepid. We bring our laptop with us, and we are not abandoning our radio people. So in case anybody was wondering what the heck happened last week, we had gremlins that were messing with the relays and the feeds in the studio. And so we were having a high old time, and on the air was zip nada. Luckily, we went through with the show, and we were able to record the whole thing and put it up there for you. That's why we called it Mercury Retrograde Redux. We heard it, you didn't, but now you can. But everything is fixed. And so tonight it is open mic night to make up for the fact that it wasn't open mic night last week. Now, what is open mic night? Open mic night is when you get to ask or anything, discuss anything you want. Remember, we do have things that cannot go across the air, so keep it at least PG, guys. But if you have questions, you know, if you want to get into the past lives, we can do that. If you want to ask a question about your life, we can do that. If you want to just discuss something, we can do that too. And one of the things that I wanted to start out with this time is something that I call the practicality of angels. And you guys may not know some of this. This is part of my story. So I thought that we'd talk about it now. And then if you've got angel stories yourself, as in, I do not know how I managed to survive this, but somehow I did, I would love to hear them. So I never considered myself an angel person when I started on the light worker's path. I didn't want to be, frankly. I value practical, even as an intuitive. So I gravitated more toward numerology with its formula and its rules. I dove into tarot cards, whose archetypal information I found to be something concrete. Not so angelic beings. Even in the beginning, when I was putting my hands on anything that looked at all metaphysical, I'd find too many angel books that came across as fluffy or specious or both. But it's a rare person who sets themselves on the light road who doesn't run into angels sooner or later. Why? Angels are one of spirit's fastest and most profound ways of dealing with dangerous situations, doubting Thomases, or lost lambs in ways that cannot be ignored. And I got to have angel encounters for all three of those sorts of adventures. The first encounter happened in 1994. That was when suddenly and with no training, I found myself able to do hands-on healing and talk to dead people. I couldn't explain why I could do what I did. I just knew I was being handed my draft notice and called to service. So I bowed my head and used my hands. Every time I started doing my work, someone or something would put hands gently over mine, and we worked together. People would feel presences they couldn't explain and get healings neither of us could logically justify. And the presence didn't feel like a spirit guide. I had those, knew those, and they simply said, the healings are larger than we are. Trust that. So I tentatively, grudgingly accepted the fact that somehow I had come to angelic notice. But I didn't want to get all glurpy purple, as I said to my friends. I still wanted to be solidly based. Besides, who was I to expect angelic attention or even more angelic assistance? I was neither saintly nor particularly devout at that point, so I was pretty sure they had better things to do. By 1997, I was doing enough work that I knew I needed to acknowledge allegiance to someone. After a long and difficult road, it was clear that the banner under which I needed to walk was that of the Christ consciousness. Now, the Christ consciousness is very different from Jesus as your personal savior. The Christ consciousness is literally that amazing white light presence that, yes, it was in Jesus, but it was also in Gandhi. It was also in an awful lot of other people that came down, Yogananda, okay? But there was fear. I didn't like what I had experienced with organized religion, didn't believe most of what standard church doctrine told us, and kept fighting for the logic to win, but it didn't. What happened to me on February 1st, 1997 is very private, and I've told only a few. But believe me when I say that there were angelic presences in my little apartment in Atlanta, that the room's temperature went up 15 degrees in 5 minutes, that I felt myself held and moved, and saw finger indentations on my nightgown sleeve that had no visible fingers causing them. And that night, I knew for sure that the Christ had very little to do with church doctrine and everything to do with that incandescent, imminent center of compassion, non-judgment, and love at the center of the universe. After the presentation was over, I called my close friend, who's a priest in the Celtic Catholic Church. Could she explain what happened without my telling her about it? Because her particular spirit guide was in the room with us as a witness, and she asked him to report to her. And he gave her the exact order of everything that happened from a 90-degree angle to where I was, which is where I had sensed him at the beginning of the angelic encounter. Now, you'd think I wouldn't need any more convincing after that, wouldn't you? I suppose God gets a great kick out of his most hard-headed kids, because I certainly was. Okay, angels helped me heal. Okay, they were part of the celestial welcoming committee. But all those stories about telling people to take a different road, saving them and boating accidents, all that, nah, not me. I didn't matter enough for that, I thought. Yeah, right. In February of 2002, I was on a rural road in upstate New York. It had been warm, then cold, and rain had changed to a light snow overnight. Suddenly, my tires hit a patch of black ice under snow. My car swerved toward a stand of trees. I wrenched the wheel too hard. I spun in the other direction, clipping a pine tree, knocking down a telephone pole. I felt the car do a rollover and found myself hanging upside down with electrical wires all over the car, and I wasn't even wearing a seatbelt. Looking back, I realized that angels had the wheel from the first skid. They had to, because at no time did I fear what was happening. It felt like slow motion, very clear. I had absolutely no fear of injury or death. It was as if I knew it wasn't my time and I was being taken care of. I eased myself out of the car. Within a half an hour, I flagged someone down who called an ambulance. I was immediately strapped to a backboard like I'd broken every bone in my body, though I protested I was fine. I remember the EMT checking my pulse and blood pressure and saying, "You're the cool one, 120, 80, and a slow and regular pulse." I had a couple of small bruises on my shoulders. My back was wrenched, and I was in pain for a few days. But for a woman in a flipped car with no seatbelt, nothing short of miraculous. Especially when I saw my car at the tow truck garage. It was smashed to bits everywhere but where I'd been sitting. It was as if there was a little protective shell in that one place. Three gifts of spirit. When I was a doubting Thomasina, a lost lamb, and now in a life-threatening situation. Inexplicable, loving hands had been there in every single occurrence. How could I possibly doubt the presence of angels anymore? I couldn't. And that day, I stopped trying. It's now almost a decade since that last encounter. My intuitive work has blossomed into a full-time career. I read for clients all over the world, and whether I'm channeling or healing or doing intuitive counseling, I'm still as practical as I know how to be with them. But I'm finding there is nothing more practical than an angel when God wants to get a point across. And when I'm in a stuck place, I hold out my hand and wait for that warm touch and that rustle of a wing in my ear. Now, admittedly, I said in the beginning, I'm not crazy about Glurpy Purple, and I'm not. There, too many people have angels that are crosses between Fluffy Bunnies, Walt Disney Mouseketeers, and Boy Scouts, and they're not. Angels can be incredibly powerful presences. I know that in 1997, when I was trying to find out how to work with somebody upstairs under some banner, angels literally appeared in my apartment. My friend, Reverend Sharon, saw one, said she had trouble seeing me through the glow. And trust me, they weren't cute with fuzzy wings in the nightgown. They were a presence. So one of the things I would especially welcome tonight is if you've got an experience where an angel came through for you, whether it was an accident, whether it was a knowing that you couldn't have had, whether it was being placed somewhere where you needed to be and you don't know why or how you got there, but you just did. That's the kind of thing I'd like to hear tonight. 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. Because, like I said, I know I'm not special. I'm not someone who sits on a mountaintop. I am no Dalai Lama. I am no Mother Teresa. I'm probably not even your Aunt Gertie. But somehow I came to notice of the folks I called the big wings. And it's one of the reasons that I will still use a couple of angel decks in the decks that I read. They will come through with stuff. And if you remember what I said last week, if you went and listened to the pod, angels are not here to pat you on the head and say, "It's all right, bunny, it'll be fine." Angels are serious business. Angels are folks who will tell you what you need to know. They will do it with affection, but they will pull no punches. And that's the mark of a really good spirit guide. What I said last week, to refresh your memory, all angels are spirit guides, but not all spirit guides are angels. When you have an angel for a spirit guide, it follows the same rules. It will not pump up your ego at the expense of someone else. "Oh, of course, Betsy, you're supposed to win this because everybody else is so terrible." Trust me, that's your ego. It will not put you down. "Betsy, we are so disappointed in you because you shoplifted that purple sweater and God is crying." Come on, that number one, God does not cry. God understands. He's bigger than we are. And the only one who's really hurt by this is you. So your angels are relatively objective, always compassionate, and they want to do their best for you. And what I am going to do right now is fill in for just a moment. I did get a couple of reading questions by email. And the first one is from Rhonda. And Rhonda is in the Pittsburgh area. And Rhonda says, "I am being asked to take a different position at my company, and they're giving me two possibilities. One is in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the other is in Denver, Colorado." She puts in parentheses, "of course, after the fires are over." Can you give me some insight as to which is better? All right, for when I do this, this is definitely a tarot card thing. And I'm going to pull three cards for each place, but it's not just going to be the general. It's going to be... The first one is how the move itself would go. The second would be how your job would be affected. And the other would be how comfortable you would be there. So first one is Minneapolis. Second one is Denver. Minneapolis, it's the Eight of Swords. That's the one that has the blindfolded woman, and she's bound and she's afraid there's danger around her. Whereas Denver is the Three of Cups, which is the celebration card. So the move clearly would be a lot easier going to Denver than Minneapolis. What about work? In Minneapolis, the Queen of Cups, I think that people would love what you do and there would be a real emotional bond with the people you work with. In Denver, it's the Knight of Rods. It's also a good card, but it's a little bit different. It's more intense. It's more creative. So the top is good for you emotionally. The other is good creatively. Now, what do we do about how life would be there? In Minneapolis, Queen of Pentacles. It would be solid. It would be practical. It would be Midwest. What can I tell you? Not terribly exciting, but certainly comfortable. In Denver, however, the Knight of Cups. I don't know if you've ever been to the Rocky Mountains or anything like that, but you are truly going to feel like you came home. So given my druthers, I would say that Denver looks like the better bet for you. But remember, it's got to be your decision. That's just what we see at the moment. So we hope that helps. Okay, I understand that we have the phone problems fixed. Who am I speaking to on Empower Readings?
Justo.
Justo, hi. Welcome to Empower Readings. What can I do for you?
Yeah, a couple things. One, I'm a very spiritual person, and I've had an angel of assistance come to me back in 1992, and I was having many spiritual experiences, and they were asking me if I needed help. And I said, no, I'll figure it out on my own. And I left. I said, that's okay. You can go. And my angel left me. And my intuition has been off balance ever since then.
Well, when we say to angels, no, we can handle it ourselves, they're not going to sit there and say, are you sure? You want to reconsider? They're going to be, okay, fine. So I think that you might want to work at bringing your intuition back online. Also, make a point of, I would say, light a candle and literally start meditating, if you can, 10, 15 minutes a day, politely asking your angel to come back. Okay? And just say, well, I learned my lesson. So if you would be kind enough to step back into the picture and let me know you're here. It may take a while to reestablish the connection. It's not that they have turned their back on you, but the trust level, the desire level has to be restructured. But I think that you can do that. So like I say, white candle, 15 minutes of meditation every night if you can, and just trust that your angel will be back there. And when they come back, listen to them. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Corby.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I've got a question. Tammy from Syracuse has just sent an email. Okay. What are the differences between angels, guardian angels, and spirits? That's a good question. All right. Now, if you're talking spirits, I'm going to assume you mean spirit guides. Now, there's a thing called a Venn diagram. Go back to school. And remember those two circles and part of it intersected? That's a Venn diagram. Well, imagine the angel circle in the middle, and then spirit guides is a big circle around it. That's how you can see that all angels are spirit guides, but not all spirit guides are angels. Angels and guardian angels, they're almost the same thing. It's just assignment. We have angels that are assigned to us from birth to death. It's like they have our names in the back of their tunics like little camp tags. And they never abandon us. They never dump us. They never get mad and go sit in a corner and complain. At the same time, spirit guides, while all angels can be spirit guides, not all spirit guides are angels. For instance, Carl Emil Schaefer, somebody that I knew 100 years ago, was my very first spirit guide. He was a human who has, you know, who transitioned. But when I needed someone that I knew would have my back and I could trust, well, I trusted him 100 years ago, so he came in now. So that's an example. Spirit guides can be anybody. They can be people that we knew before. They can be our Aunt Gertie or Uncle Roger. I know that one of my spirit guides is my own father, who was a fabulous cardiologist. And when I do medical intuitive work, he very often comes in and drops a word or two in my ear or tells me what to ask. They can be elementals like fairies or elves or just about any energetic signature. And they may come in for a while to give you a hand with a specific thing. As I said, Carl Amel was my beginning spirit guide. He's still around. We're still, you know, loving friends, if you will. But I have moved on to other guides who are helping me as I move forward in different parts of my life. So that's how I see the difference between spirit guides and angels. Not as much as you'd think, just a little different on where they come from and how long they're with you. Okay. We're getting close to break. If you've just tuned in, this is Corby Midlide. We're on Empower Readings. And one of the things we're talking about this week, it's open mic night. You can ask anything. Is we're talking about the practicality of angels. If you have stories of, nope, there I was and I was saved and God knows how, we want to hear them. We've already had a couple of general questions and one specific for a tarot reading. And we would love to continue to play with you. So the number is 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. Everything is on the table tonight. You want to talk about romance? We'll talk about romance. You want to talk about choice questions, where to move was one we've just had. I'm applying to 5 colleges. Where is best? What do I do about my career? All of these are the kinds of things I absolutely love, and we want to help you with them. So write them down and get ready to rock and roll. Again, it's 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. Remember that without your calls, it's not nearly as much fun a show. I can talk for an hour. You betcha, baby, but I'd much rather be talking with you. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we will do more of Open Mic Night with Empower Readings.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and ducks.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you, the enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the Lost Cat Magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the inventnow.org website too. But just remember one thing, don't do a lost cat magnet.
anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
License and registration.
But I'm walking.
Do you want to upset an officer of the law?
No, sir.
Good. I pulled you over today for littering.
I didn't litter.
Wow. That's what they all say. Unfortunately, I saw you drop a pair of thunder thighs a few blocks back. Probably happened as you were biting into that apple you're holding.
How'd you know they're my thunder thighs?
Well, my young friend, I'd like to say 2 years in the police academy helped figure it out, but between us, it was smallstep.gov.
Smallstep.gov?
Yep, Rooney. It's this site with tons of easy ways to lose weight. Some steps are so easy, people don't realize they're doing them. Like you taking small step number 83, snack on fruits. Go to smallstep.gov, you'll see. You can drive off now.
I'm still walking.
Take a small step to get healthy at smallstep.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the second half of Power Readings. I'm your host, Corby Mintline, and this is Open Mic Night. Open Mic Night is when we can talk about anything that comes through your little noggin. We are spending a little time tonight, especially on the practicality of angels. This is where I'd like to hear any of your stories about, I shouldn't have survived, but I did. I had no idea how to do this, and all of a sudden, you know, I could fly a jet airplane and kept us from crashing. I was desperately trying to talk to this person at the side of the road who was badly hurt and found myself speaking Urdu, and I don't know the language. All of these are actually stories that I have heard. So if you've got something to share with us, I would love it. I would love to hear that I'm not the only one that angels torque with my brain, they've also torqued with yours. So in the meantime, while we're waiting for calls, I did get a text message in from Bob, and Bob is in the Atlanta area. And Bob has one of those wonderful relationship questions. Two girls, one Joan, one Molly. And he's been dating them both off and on for about a year. And he has a sense that he'd better make a decision because they don't know about each other yet. But now he thinks that the jig is going to be up. Well, hopefully Joan and Molly are not listening tonight, Bob. But let me see what I can do for you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pull my usual relationship read on each one of them. And we'll start with Joan. You in this relationship, it's the King of Cups. It's the King of Love. So whatever you're feeling for her, I truly do think it's genuine. How she's feeling, it's the Death card. Now, it doesn't mean like she wants to die or she wants to kill you. Remember that death is death of an old way of life. So she's seeing that the relationship with you is very different from ones that she's had before. And she too will have to change to make it work. The relationship itself, be careful. It's the Seven of Cups, which means it's built on an awful lot of fantasy. It's being built on how you would like to see each other, how you hope it's going to go. But I don't know how reality-based it is. What you need to do to make it work? Knight of Rods. Knight of Rods is all about creativity and passion and just being that ardent and, you know, wonderful lover that just knocks her off her feet. You got to show her you mean it. Outcome, it's the Wheel of Fortune. The Wheel of Fortune means it's a little risky, but all in all, I don't think it would be a bad shot. Now, let's take a look at Molly. We're going to do the same pulling of five cards. The other five went back into the deck, and now I'm pulling five different ones. Okay, a card for you with Molly. It's the Lover's card, but the Lover's card is choice. It's not necessarily running around in your backyard, romping and having a grand time. In this relationship, I think you are being a little more practical with, a little more, does this have legs, as they say on Broadway? Will it last a long time? Molly is the Six of Cups. Now, this could have two meanings. I believe that you're in your mid-30s, so I would imagine that Molly is around your age. Molly may be thinking about kids. Make sure that you have that important discussion before anything else goes further. It also may mean that she has a very nurturing aspect and she has a kid part in her. You know how some people are just so serious. They don't know how to play anymore. One of the reasons that I fell in love with Mike Carl is he taught me how to build a kite and fly it. I hadn't flown a kite since I was 6. But this was someone who knew how to get in touch with the wonderful, simple childhood pleasures. So that also may be part of what's going on here. The relationship card, it's the 7 of Pentacles, slow growth but deep roots. My sense of this is that you have known each other for a long time. This might have been a platonic relationship that built into a romance. And if that's the case, that's one of the most important things you want to consider. You know each other. You've taken each other's measure. There's a level of trust. So what you need to do to make it work? It's the 10 of Swords. And I have to tell you, my darling, I think that that means you have to, if you want this relationship to go, just put a stop to the other one. You have to choose one. Outcome, the High Priestess. And that's an important card when a guy asks about romance. Because when the High Priestess shows up in a man's reading, I've always seen that as he's met the love of his life. So while normally I don't say one over the other, it looks like everything is pointing to Molly. So if you're going to let Joan down, let her down gently. But your options with Molly for a long-term relationship look really, really, really good. So that's my advice. Go with your second girl. The very best of luck to you. And let's just hope that you'll write us back and say, yes, we got married and she's pregnant. And so what kind of kid are we going to have? Those are always the fun ones. Well, I've never had kids, folks. I seem to have a pretty good record at figuring out whether someone's going to have pink or blue booties. Don't ask me. I'm just a garden hose. But it usually comes through pretty well. Again, 248-809-3475. That's 248-809-3475. We very much want your calls because you are what makes this fun. Okay, looks like we've got Erica back. And if Erica is on the phone, we want to talk to Erica. Do we have her?
Yes.
Hooray. Hi, Erica. And good Lord, you're patient. Thank you. Welcome to Empower Readings. What do you want to share with us?
Well, back in 2000, I was in a really bad car accident. I was driving on my way to work, and it was still on my parents' road. And I was going pretty slow because it was back in February and the snow had been on the ground, but I ran into an 8-inch drift and lost control of my vehicle, and it swerved across the road, and then it went into a ditch and spun on top of its roof. And when I opened up my eyes, I was seatbelted, of course, thankfully, but all the windows blew out as they should have, and I was a little stunned trying to figure out what to do with my car, and then walked home. But looking where my car was, it was about 100 feet from a 30-foot ravine. The entire car was crushed except for the little cage that I was in. And I'm a petite woman. So the medic and the police officer said after they saw my car, if I was any taller, I probably would have really hurt my neck or crushed my legs. And none of that happened. The airbag didn't go off.
How small are you?
I'm about 5'2".
Wow.
So I was pretty lucky. And I had to sit close to the steering wheel because I'm so tiny, and the airbag didn't deploy, so there was no chemical burns or anything like that. But I'm very lucky to survive. And when I lost control, I knew right away that I just had to be limp, and I felt this overwhelming cold sensation and chill. And prior to that, I declared myself as an atheist because I had religion shoved down my throat growing up and really didn't see the viewpoints that everybody in the family and that the priest all had. And I always felt that there was something different. But from that point on, it was, okay, fine. I'll acknowledge that there is something, because there's no way that I could have survived that had there not been something. You know what I mean? And then feel that sensation that I felt. It was just odd. So I'm assuming that that's something along the lines of what you're talking about with the angels. And I don't know if that was an angel per se or a guardian or what. But
it's just, you're alive. It's almost like, does it matter? How did it change your life, though?
It made me less stubborn, and in being in a situation like that, I started to appreciate life more. I looked at the clouds differently. I looked at nature differently. I started seeing the life in things. I was really a depressed individual back then, and was gothic for many years, and still kind of am, but I'm not one of those angry, scary goths anymore. I'm one of the intellectual, fun-loving goths.
Intellectual, fun-loving goths. That's kind of like saying, I had a great conversation with a peanut butter sandwich who is taking elective science, but okay, I'll buy it. What would you say to anybody that has had that happen to them? And they think, you can't explain it. I'm not going to try. It didn't mean anything. It was just lucky.
You don't have to be able to explain it. You know, it happened to you, and so it happened. Internalize it. Be thankful that you're still alive. Now, I've read about pre-birth planning sessions and stuff. Now, whether or not that could have been an out for me, I don't really know. That's a different thing to dive into, but anybody who has an experience like that, don't just toss it up to, you know, good luck. Really look at your life and start to evaluate where you are and where you can be, and look at life in a different way, because you're the one that can change things around. If mm-hmm. you want to be negative, then your life is going to be negative, and that's all you're going to see. But change things around. Use that as an opportunity to start smelling the roses and take life a little bit more, not seriously, but be jovial and enjoy life more and be personable with other people and with yourself and do things that you really want to, because life is short. And had you not had that experience, had there not been somebody there to help you, you'd be done. And you'd miss out on all these other opportunities. So take life with a grain of salt and enjoy life.
I do want to address that thing you asked about pre-birth planning sessions, because that's very much something that we discussed in Robert Schwartz's book, Your Soul's Plan. The way we understand it is that you do have more than one exit point. And this may have been one that you set up, that your higher self looked at it and said, no, I think that we still have more stuff to do. So yeah, I would say this is something that was planned. Certainly wasn't a coincidence, but just be glad at this point that you didn't have to take it. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Okay. Now we have Kim from New York on the line. Kim, welcome to Empower Readings. Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good stuff. Well, glad you're listening. What part of the discussion are you going to weigh in on?
I would actually like to ask you a question about a strange obsession that I have.
Go ahead.
Willow trees. Every time I see willow trees or I'm around them, I'm very drawn to them, and I'm not quite sure why.
Okay. For one thing, willow trees are hugely important medicinally. Okay, I believe that white willow bark, it was the precursor to salicylic aspirin, acid or aspirin. So when I think about it, I think this is a past life thing. I see you in a little country cottage. And we're looking England, but like the 1930s. And you're still doing the concoctions and herbal medicine that had been handed down to you by many, many people in your family. And the willow tree apparently was a lot of things to you. I see you weaving willow baskets. I see you using the leaves. I see you using the bark and the roots. It was as if this tree, and this is one big tree. This sucker may have been 30, 40 feet tall. Basically sheltered the little family cottage for well over 100 years. And, okay, all right, it's not England, it's Ireland, because all of a sudden I see you and your family being kicked off the land because somebody bought it and forced you, if you will, on the road into the cities. And you didn't do well in the cities. You died about 4 or 5 years later, heartbroken, because you needed the green, you needed the quiet. And there was so much of your family wrapped up in that cottage and that tree that it was like they took away family members or killed people in front of you. So one of the things that I would suggest is, when you have, if you have a house, a place you've bought, plant a willow. Learn how you can use it for medicinal purposes. Learn what it is to weave a willow basket. I truly would recommend that you try and regain some of those wonderful talents that you had before this. Because I think it's going to open up a whole bunch of your life in terms of metaphysics that is just waiting under the surface for you to remember. What is it that you do now for a job?
I work at a printing and packaging facility.
That's like so not what I see you doing. So if there's any way that you can get to a willow tree, plant one, learn to use it as it was used before, I think that it is a doorway, and it's been calling to you to come and play with it again. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, because it's almost like an urge to, I want to climb them. I want to touch the sweepy branches. I just want to, I don't know, it's almost an urge to touch it. Every time I see one, I just want to climb in it and just be as close as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's an old friend calling you back. So that's how I would say you should work with it. Take up the invitation. It says, I want to play with you. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. I think that's a fascinating story.
Awesome.
All right.
It makes sense. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, all right, let's see. We've got a couple of minutes. One of the things that I wanted to dovetail in with the practicality of angels is how you can be an angel for somebody else. Okay. It's July and I'm starting to see Christmas in July things, and it's driving me crazy. Okay. Because Christmas is all about, can I get the perfect thing? Do I have to spend more money than I want to? What's going on? And it's not about the thing. It's about the giving. Okay, so there are specific gifts that I call spiritual gifts that you could just give, and it doesn't take any money. It's just there. And I found these through the Cathedral of St. Philip down in Atlanta about 20 years ago. They had lists, gifts of, and then I said, how would I interpret them? So the first one is the gift of teaching. And that is whether it's visually or vocally or by example, using your talent to help someone else reach a new level of learning about themselves, the world around them, or the world within. So ask yourself, what do you have to teach that's special? Can you give someone a new tool or a trade? spark an interest by sharing your knowledge. Remember the example of Annie Sullivan and Helen Keller, if you ever saw The Miracle Worker. That's what we're talking about. Annie's dedication to teaching gave Helen the world after so many years of darkness being deaf and mute. And you may also have wonders to teach someone, so go find out. What about the gift of encouragement? You may have a knack for calling forth the best from others, helping them to be more aware of their own truths and paths, to bolster them up when they're discouraged, to challenge them to see and set their life's goals. Just look at what our friend did from Ontario. She learned from what happened to her, and she's encouraging you. Okay, so try writing letters to those who need encouragement, okay? When you have concrete words to hold on to when it's a really dark time, it can be a lifesaver. It can be miraculous. Reach out to your elders, to the homebound, to people who are challenged in some way, physically or mentally or emotionally, to young ones who need to know they matter in this crazy roller coaster world. Help people go beyond where they think they can go. Encouragement builds wings. It's why I have my own sentence of passion: cross the bridge from fear to fearlessness and fly. All right. Oh, here's one that I would love: the gift of time. It's the number one complaint of people these days. They don't have enough time. So if you have a little extra, if you can make some, offer it. Watch a pet so that someone can go away for the weekend. Oh, please. My husband and I are talking about how the fact that I never take a vacation, and I'm close to being a crispy critter. One of the reasons that we're looking at being able to take a couple of days away is we've got a neighbor. She's just a year or two out of high school. She adores the cats. She can come and watch them, and it's a gift from her. What about cooking an extra casserole and giving it to a working mom? What about someone who is going through chemotherapy? Do their grocery shopping for them. Even giving someone an extra hour or two can feel like $1 million when it's time that they can breathe and relax and get their feet under them again. What about the gift of mercy? This is the gift of those who just exude kindness, compassion, especially to people the world may deem least deserving of it. I'll give you an example. I was just taking part in a fundraiser for a woman, single mom, really rough bout with breast cancer. And her life is not Leave It to Beaver, pink and white and adorable. She's had some tough times and made some tough decisions, but her friend said, it doesn't matter. She needs us. So we held a fundraiser and we helped raise money so that her kids will be okay while she can't work. This is forgiveness flowing throughout life, the giving of comfort to those who grieve or they're in crisis, being the peacemaker to help bridge two sides that can't come to terms. This gift can flower in numbers of directions, from helping individuals to organizing programs, to working with social needs, to empowering voting, whatever you want. The world in which we find ourselves can be so harsh and so unforgiving. If you use this gift, it's vital to stem the tide and return gentleness and understanding back into our lives. It's so valuable. What about the gift of helping? Do you ever find yourself willing to offer help or relief from distress wherever it's needed? You're the go-to guy or the go-to girl. Then this is your gift. All of us can remember being immersed in an impossible situation, ready to give up, and then one person steps in quietly and unobtrusively and brings order out of chaos. If this is your ability, then baby, you are onto something precious. Use it to help organize volunteers, give assistance to projects, social outreach programs, fundraising on an individual level. Simple. Weed a garden for someone who has arthritis and can't get down on their knees anymore. What about cleaning out a garage and organizing a tag sale for someone who's moving? Paint someone's living room if they can't use a ladder. Maybe even offer, just carpool the local kids, even if it's not your turn. Be the person who pitches in to do whatever needs to be done, no matter how tedious. Okay? Now, there are some other gifts too. There's the gift of helping, the gift of administration, the gift of leadership, the gift of hospitality. The most important thing is it's already there. You already have it. Go check inside your inner closet and you will see that you've got gifts that anybody would be thrilled to get. And that way, my dear, we come right back around to the practicality of angels. And you become the practical angel that these people have been waiting for. So this was probably the favorite kind of open mic night I get. We got a couple of general questions. We got a couple of specifics. How do I get back in touch with my angel? Which girl? Where am I moving? And we got to talk to you about times in your life when somebody upstairs said, nope, I think that we need to stick a hand in here and make life a little better for this person. Those are the kinds of things that keep life from being drudgery, give us hope when the world looks crazy. Because I'll be honest with you, it ain't pretty out there, in case you hadn't noticed. We are all fraught. There is so much polarization, Republicans, Democrats, pro-life, pro-choice, pro-gay marriage, not, anti-gay marriage. We're so busy being a label, we forget that we're just people. So if you want to wrap up this show and tighten a bow, remember, even someone you think is your enemy has had bad days, puts their pants on one leg at a time, gets cramps after too much pepperoni pizza, whatever it takes for you to hit their reality. When we start seeing each other's reality again, we can start talking again. When you just label somebody, that's a Republican, that's a liberal, you forget who they are, you forget their humanity, and humanity, dear ones, is the only thing that is going to save the world. So go be human. Go take that fabulous part of yourself and spread it around. Go be an angel whose wings aren't quite as visible as some of the others. So next week, we are going to go back to having a guest with us. And this is Yena. She's a wonderful shaman that I met in New Hope a few weeks back. And she's going to be talking to us about all kinds of shamanic practices. I don't think I've had a shaman on yet, so this should be really interesting. And then after that, it will, I think, be the past life party again. I'll have to check. But in the meantime, don't forget, you can always find us on empowerradio.com. You can download the podcast for this. You can also find us on iTunes. So until next week, go practice being an angel. We'll see you on Thursday.